Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Tributes are being paid this morning to former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev, who died yesterday at the age of 91. He was one of the most influential political figures of the 20th century, presiding over the dissolution of the Soviet Union. In Europe, he was celebrated as the saviour who delivered freedom to millions of Soviet citizens. To take a closer look at his lasting legacy in Europe, I'm joined on the line by John O'Brien, Jean Monnet, Chair of European Integration at Maynooth University. John, thank you for joining us this morning. I said there that he was celebrated in Europe as the saviour, but he was viewed differently depending on who you talk to and where they are. He has an ambiguous legacy where he's revered in some parts, particularly in Europe, but disliked at home in Russia.
Good morning, Claire. Yeah, I think it is true to say that Mikhail Gorbachev, despite being in power for only 6 years, should really be considered a visionary. He changed his own country decisively, and he certainly changed Europe. And although we might think about him as a failure in that he didn't succeed in reforming the socialist system in the way that he wanted to, I think most fair-minded people would say it was an honourable failure. There was a decency about him. And really, what he was trying to do was almost beyond the task of any individual or any government. He did succeed, however, in destroying the totalitarian system that had evolved in the Soviet Union, but ultimately he failed in his effort to reform that union. I think, however, it's in world affairs and foreign affairs that he really deserves credit. He reduced the danger of a nuclear holocaust. He was genuinely, I think, horrified by the prospect of nuclear confrontation with the United States. He was genuinely dedicated to arms reduction and to military retrenchment. And perhaps most importantly, in European terms, he allowed the East European satellite states of the USSR to go their own way. He could have done what previous Soviet leaders did, intervening in East Germany in 1953, in Hungary, sending in the troops in 1956, and again in Czechoslovakia in 1968, where we had the seeds of a sort of democratic movement emerge. He chose not to do that. And it was a largely peaceful revolution, except for Lithuania, where 17 people died in 1991. I think he deserves enormous credit for that. It was immensely complex. And his option was to do it without violence.
Mm-hmm. And he's criticised, isn't he, for allowing the pace of that to accelerate. And there are those who say that he should have controlled the breakup to some extent.
Well, I think, honestly, Claire, that was beyond the ability of anybody in the circumstances that he was in. I well remember in the summer of 1989, for example, where the peaceful revolutions had been kind of accelerating from early in the year. No expert that I know of predicted that the Berlin Wall would come down, for example, in the summer of 89. And certainly nobody believed that the Soviet Union as a system would cease to exist within a couple of years. Such was the speed of events. So I don't think we should really necessarily blame Gorbachev. He just didn't understand, I think, the enormous magnitude of what he had set in motion with both glasnost and perestroika within the Soviet Union, and the way that that filtered through into the Soviet Union's international relations.
Mm-hmm. And his ideology, I mean, there are those who forget that Mikhail Gorbachev was communist and remained communist.
Yeah, I think there's a great comment from one of his recent biographers, William Taubman, who says he didn't want to dismantle communism. He wanted to give it a human face. He was a gradualist. I think he was very different to all his predecessors. There was this sort of ghastly waxworks of characters, you know, Leonid Brezhnev, Andropov, and Chernenko, all his immediate predecessors. And he was so much more young, dynamic, and capable and intelligent than any of them. But his aim, I think, was to try and reform the existing system as much as possible. It certainly wasn't to dismantle it. And I think he himself became increasingly disillusioned as events sort of got the better of him in the late 1980s.
Okay, and then the reaction today in Russia has been quite tepid to his death, would you say? I'm just reading some comments that are coming from the Kremlin. Now, the unattributed ones are quite critical of him, but there are muted statements attributed to Vladimir Putin saying that he was a politician and statesman who had a huge impact on the course of world history.
Yeah, I think this shouldn't surprise us. I mean, Putin believes that Gorbachev did enormous damage to Russia. Why? Because the changes that he set in motion reduced Russia's status in the world. It went from being almost the equal of the United States in the bipolar system to just an ordinary kind of state that struggled enormously in the 1990s. And I think one of Putin's main aims in power has been to try and restore the greatness, as he sees it, of Russia. And he sees Gorbachev, I think, fundamentally as this weak man who failed to stand up to the West and essentially gave away the authority that Russia enjoyed in those previous sort of iterations, yes, whether it was the Soviet Union or the previous Russian Empire.
John, thank you very much for joining us today. John O'Brien there from Maynooth University. Let's go to the newsroom and Brian Jennings.